There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 318, December 4th, 2008. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the all-new 2009 Motorsports Memories powered by Turbo Calendar. A pictorial tribute to the age and rage of the Turbo era. Incredible images in large format with historical information on drivers featured, such as Ayrton Senna, Didier Pironi, KK Rosberg, Nigel Mansell, and many, many more. Now available on our merchandise page. Get one. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we always thank Motorsports Memories. On today's program, Fernando Alonso threatens to quit Formula One over spec motors. Does Heikki Kovalainen really have a chance at McLaren? Rubinho begging for a seat in Formula One. And lots of loose lips. And of course, our favorite segment of the week, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Great. How about yourself, Mr. Rogers?
I'm absolutely wonderful. Everything is just a hive of busy, happy bees here at the F1Weekly.com studios, especially in the off-season. I mean, I catch workers sleeping, napping here.
I thought you said it was a hive of activity.
Yeah, the hive of activity is nothing to do.
Sounds more like a den of iniquity.
Yeah, well, there you have it. And you know what I say? Yeah, fine. Whenever I catch you, folk. Sleepy.
Do we have any staff left?
No, actually, I fired them all last week.
Well,
that's the economic...
Exactly, probably better for us economically that way.
Exactly, because we were turned down when I had a request in front of Congress for $25 billion.
For a bailout?
Exactly. So, anyway, we're not getting the money, so everything's staying as is, but do have a really nice calendar for sale.
Get one, you know you want to.
Exactly. So there you have it. But anyway, what do you think about Fernando Alonso quitting over the spec engine thing? You know what? I'm with Fernando on this one. And please, I know I'm with Fernando on practically everything, including his choice of baked beans in the morning.
I have a feeling that if you spoke to the majority of F1 drivers, they would probably say something pretty close to the same thing outside of the fact that most of them might not quit because they need the money. But I, as far as going to spec engines, Formula 1. let me see. It isn't kind of about building your own car and your own engine, you know, and kind of creating. We're going to spec engines. Why don't we just throw out the cars and just bring in the GP2 cars? You know, spec motors are stupid.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what GP2 is with the nice Renault engine and all of them. I don't know. I don't think this is going to fly. I think they're still talking about it, and Max, you know, and of course Bernie's shooting everybody with the metal system, and but you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think the spec engine thing is going to happen, and I'm with Fernando. It would become a really boring thing, and I like the articles I saw where he was, you know, we downgraded from V10s to V8s, and now we're talking, you know, spec engines. At least we're going,
and it comes down to the okay. If you want to save some money, Max, stop changing the damn rules every year that require the teams to go out and spend money to meet those new specifications.
I agree, and I think they should have a lock on changing rules. You know, just the way they have the lock on engine development, let's have the rules not change for at least 5 years.
Or set them up so that the only reason that they do change is if it's a safety concern or something like that. As far as the rules around the sporting regs dealing with the cars, let's kind of freeze those and lock them down. You know, you added KERS. okay, we're going to spec engines to save money. How much money have the teams dumped into trying to develop a kinetic energy recovery system? And still most of them are kind of like going, and to what benefit?
I agree.
It's not going to make the cars faster. It's not going to provide any, you know, if it powered like a supercharger or something, maybe that would make sense. But the cars have got alternators. They've got plenty of power. They don't need to recover kinetic energy.
I agree. And of course, you know, people are already saying, this isn't going to improve overtaking in Formula One, which really is the final bottom line, which we are always trying to improve, and Max is always trying to improve. Overtaking, every year they do something. I mean, that was the reason with going with the groove tires in the first place, improving overtaking. And I bet
The other reason for groove tires was to slow the cars down because they were getting too fast.
Well, that's why we got rid of the V10s.
Yeah.
but still, I think we'll see what happens. I bet you overtaking is extremely similar than it was in 2008 when we start the season in 2009.
Yeah, overtaking, really the only thing you're going to get any more overtaking is maybe go to the power to pass type situation like they have in A1GP and had in Champ Car, where you get an extra boost of power, you know, three times during the race or something. And or you need to, if you strip the aero way back, that's going to help tighten up the cars. And one of the things I've always thought might work, but that probably will never happen, would be, okay, you've got 10 points, he's got 3 points, you get an extra 10 pounds. You know, start weighting the fast cars so that they have to work harder to stay in the front.
That's a good idea. Okay, the flashing light is going off in the hallway. That means Nasser has just gone through the front doors and he's running in. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Hello to everybody. And was the flashing light the metal detector?
Correct. Those, you know, that U.S.
sign of the times. Sign of
Homeland
the times.
Security insisted that we stuck that up
there.
I
thought it was the U.S. Department of Podcast Security.
Well, they're the other department under Homeland Security. It's very confusing here in the States right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, since now I have a drive to get to the studios, today I encountered some crosstown traffic.
Crosstown traffic! Yeah. Get through to you!
Yeah, but good news is I don't have any tire tracks on my back.
Excellent, excellent. No tire tracks on your back. And yes, you're welcome for the drive to the airport in the Traction Avant last Thursday.
Merci beaucoup.
Of course.
And Monday, too.
And Monday, I picked you up from the airport in the minivan. Not as glamorous.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I had the heater up.
Yes. And, you know, smiling face at San Jose International Airport.
That was beautiful.
And, you know, since it's a slow racing news day, let me share another racing experience I had. This was at the 2001, the race that Monty won, Montoya, Indy 500. The race was rain delayed, and I had to catch a flight. So I left the track maybe 30 laps before the finish.
So you didn't catch him drinking the leche de vaca?
No. Well, you can do that at any Dairy Queen, you know.
That's true.
On any race weekend. Anyway, so I get out, and it's, you know, the whole place is very well organized, so I figured that it'll be a big problem to get a taxi, this and that, but there are hundreds of taxis, you know, parked online, so I get in the first one. And, you know, the exit to the airport expressway, highway is not too far from where the track is.
Yeah, 8 miles.
Yeah, and so I noticed the taxi driver is, like, driving through neighborhoods, this and that. So I figured he knew his way out, you know, to the airport. That's what I told him, I need to go to the airport. And then after about 5 minutes, I got the impression that maybe, you know, we are moving away from the Indianapolis International or Municipal Airport. So I said, let's see what's going on. And I'm running short on time now. And then I said, you know, he must know the way. I don't live here. So I kept quiet. After another 10 minutes later, the guy drives, you know, makes a right turn, and there is like sort of a big house and green fields and a couple like Cessna, Piper, they're parked there. And I says, what is this? He said, you said airport. I said, yeah. He said, I thought you were flying from a private airport. And I'm like, dude, if I'm flying from a private airport, am I taking a Chevy Impala taxi?
So he thought you were in the F1 Weekly private jet.
No, he thought I was a GM executive.
The hybrid jet.
Yeah, but I just heard the news that they are, you know,
they're caravanning.
So there you have it. So your thoughts on Fernando Alonso threatening to quit over the spec engine debacle? Me and Steve just had a little discussion while you were...
Gee, what a surprise.
Well, you were wandering aimlessly.
Yeah, in a story of my life. I had a segment called Famous Last Words, or should I say Famous Last Text. And this is what he said, and I have to agree with him on this one.
We got to wrap this up now. This text thing has got to end.
Well, as soon as
a rumor, it may never even happen.
Oh, no. Those intercepts were all wrong. No, anyway, I agree with him on this one. And this is what he says. If they approve a single engine, that would be the last straw. It would be time to start thinking about retirement. And, you know, Formula One, like Mr. Favre said before, you know, it's all about your car, your engine. You know, we don't need it. We have GP2 and we have Tony George's Grand Prix series called IRL. No, Formula One is the way it is. It's the best and it should be that way.
See, a man of integrity.
I don't like this metal thing. You know, I don't want them to turn Formula One into Barnum and Bailey Circus. A lot of heritage. Let's not screw it up.
But FOTA is meeting this week to discuss the metal thing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they have more than one agenda there.
Yeah.
But, you know, counting the... Somebody's going to complain, you know, my silver medal is actually not silver. And, you know, it'll be one nonsense after another.
And going to a metal system isn't going to change what happened in a season like last year, where you go down to the last race. What happens if you end up with two guys with four golds, you know, three silvers and a bronze?
Not only that, but 10 years later, we could find out that he was taking an illegal substance.
Yeah, exactly. I think what might be a good idea is if there are 20 races, you take your best points, 7 points from the first 10. And, you know, this way you have to hustle every race.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, no matter how you put this thing together.
Like gymnastics and throw out the high and the low.
Yeah, and no matter what you do.
No matter how you do it, yeah. There's always going to be something you're going to be able to point at and go, oh, that didn't happen, you know. Yeah. You're going to have the same arguments, whether it's medals or points or if you shift the points around or, you know, two seasonal halves. You have the race for the cup.
Or they can have a NASCAR-style points that each driver has so many points that, you know, they're counting the system and the points till December 31st, 11:59 p.m.
I've got an idea. Why don't we start all the drivers with a big bag of points?
And we take them away.
And you take them away as you go through the season. So if you win, you only lose like 5.
Yeah, but
if you come in last, you lose 25, you know. And
but it depends. In America, it wouldn't be a bag of points. It'd be like chicken wings.
And then you'd have a problem if you had somebody like Monty on your team.
You know, the blue passports can be recalled.
They can. I heard about that. They text messaged me. Just a couple of days ago. Quickly, though.
The V-chip in your passport might place you in, like, Botswana or Burundi.
Ooh. I heard the temperatures are nice right now in Burundi.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly, I would be for giving points for fastest lap and getting pole.
Yeah, again, no matter what you do. You know what happened in GP2? They used to do... 1 or 2 points for fastest lap a couple of years ago. And what did the driver do? If the guy is completely hopelessly, he's not going to score points, he changes his tire 2 laps to go and make a quick dash. So now they have changed that you must be in the top 10 to score.
Yeah.
So, you know, just leave well enough alone and be happy.
But they can't leave it alone. We've discussed this before.
Then, you know, if they cannot leave well enough alone, then I suggest that Bernie and Max should take a walk on Sunday morning in Chelsea and, you know, do what they want to do to keep
happy. We already know Max takes the walk on the wild side.
Yeah.
Or just nuke points altogether. And you just go by place. And, you know, if you win, the guy with the most wins the championship, and then you use, you know, seconds and thirds as tiebreakers.
I say leave it alone. Okay, quickly, let's move on. Heikki Kovalainen coming out this week, complaining a little bit, you know, numero dos. He thinks that he wants to be a qualifying. He doesn't want to go out heavy. And Nick Heidfeld has felt this because he goes out heavy quite a bit. And I know a lot of teams do this just to keep them away from each other.
Yeah, one of the other reasons the teams do it is so that they both can't be taken out by the same accident.
Exactly.
You know, not necessarily taking each other apart, but you know, if you really want to, if Feige really thinks he needs to be fair, they really ought to flip a coin before quality and go, okay, who gets the heavy load?
Not only that, but I think I would be impressed if Lewis Hamilton said, okay, Feige, you want the light load this week? I'll go ahead and take the heavy load, and I'll still win the race.
Yeah, and most of the time, when not you know, early in the year, Heike, even when he was going out on the heavy load, was still qualifying in the top four.
Well, not only that, but I think Ron Dennis should step up and say they'll switch strategy. To be fair about it, but to be honest, my personal opinion, as long as Heike Kovalainen is teamed up with Lewis Hamilton, no matter what the strategy is, I think Lewis is going to be on top, Ness.
Well, I think what Heikki Kovalainen should do is get the answer to his own question in 5 minutes by watching the first five laps of the British Grand Prix this year, where he was on pole, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewis.
Yes, that was the one.
Yeah.
He said that that was the one race where he was on a lighter strategy.
Yeah.
It was rainy, and guess who passed him?
Fernando Alonso. You can also, I mean, do a, you know, like your own question. Okay, let's say BMW pulls out of Formula One racing tomorrow. How many teams are willing to take Nick Heidfeld as a number one driver? Who do you think will take him? Seriously.
I think he'd be hard-pressed to find a job.
Exactly.
He might be able to land with a second-tier team. But, again, you know, Robert Kubica is going to...
Same thing if Renault pulls the plug on racing tomorrow. How many people would be willing to hire Nelsinho Piquet?
It's over for Piquet.
Yeah.
He is so lucky that he got that second.
Yeah, he is lucky because Alonso is there, you know, because they don't want, you know what?
Huh? What?
CR.
Well, I think it's more, too, that it's Briatore's last year. He doesn't necessarily want to have to break in another driver. But, again, yeah, with Fernando there. Piquet was good at getting coffee, so...
Yeah,
but with Fernando there, they know the only person that's going to give him a chance to win the world championship is Fernando. So the second guy's just got to bring up the rear.
Yeah, which is true.
And which is an important part, don't get me wrong.
And frankly speaking, with all the new changes, I will not be surprised if Fernando Alonso and Renault are like one of the main contenders for the
surprised?
Championship.
Surprised?
I will not be surprised.
Huh. I hope not. You're on this program. My goodness. Now, quickly, of course, Renault just had the big show, their last show of the season for the people. And I think this is a great thing. I think more teams should do it, including Ferrari.
Yeah,
I know BMW's been doing a little bit. They even came to Vegas. But the big show in Sao Paulo, I saw some of the photographs. Very impressive. Huge crowd. And, of course, Mr. Piquet Jr. was there to talk to his people. I thought that was very touching.
I saw that they had a huge crowd, though.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I liked it. Let's move on real quickly. Rubinho wins the Felipe Massa charity event in the karts. And I like those karts. Man, those are machismo karts. Full body and everything. I like that. But apparently Schumacher was there. And, you know, Rubinho and Schumacher lately, they're not going to the same barber. Let me put it that way.
And Michael didn't make him pull over and let it pass?
No, Rubinho wins. There were a couple of races, but he won the main event. I think he came in fifth in the second event. But, you know, nevertheless. No, I heard Jeff Gordon did terrible. I understand fully. Okay, quickly, before we go to Motorsports Mondial, it came out today, and Sebastian Vettel admitted to having those dreamy thoughts of Scuderia Ferrari.
You know, if you're a fan of Formula One, growing up as a kid, you know, that car is going to be one of the ones that you want to drive.
But Lewis Hamilton said he has written his whole life off to McLaren. He has no fantasies of Scuderia.
It's because he was brainwashed at 12.
Exactly.
I hate to bring this up, but it involves both parties, so maybe the blow will be softened. You know, in 2005, when
Jaromir
Hombre was on a hot roll.
It was a Raikkonen Ferrari.
Yeah, in the early part, Alonso was on a hot roll. Raikkonen rained on his parade in Barcelona and won the race over him.
Correct.
And I think it was last year when Hamilton had, you know, been on the podium for the first nine races, won a few races, Raikkonen rained on his parade at Silverstone. So he can deliver if he wants to, you know, make it happen.
I agree. But, yeah, I think Vettel may be at Ferrari sooner than you think. And, of course, let's not forget Santander, El Banco de Santander, will be going to Ferrari.
El Banco de Bailout.
Exactly. And we haven't heard any bad things about Santander, so they're probably doing better than, let's say, Bank of America.
Oh, and everybody's affected, let me tell you something.
Exactly, including F1 Weekly.
And including the small department. Including the... Where I work, we're less than 40 people. I mean, the squeeze is on like you won't believe.
I believe you. But anyway, so with Santander going to Ferrari in 2010, Vettel already announcing his fantasies, and of course, a lot of people are saying Fernando could be going to Ferrari with Santander, because of course, they went to McLaren because of Fernando. Can we possibly have the cage rattle of the century with Vettel and Fernando?
That may not be a plus.
Yeah, but
I'm going to tell you why. You know what's coming now. He won't be able to discuss tire strategy during a pit stop.
That's true. And then real quickly, Mark Webber, he says he's going to be there. Everything's going to be fine. There's no complications with his leg. It seems to be fairly routine. And, of course, he will be having the deal with Sebastian Vettel. Now, I find it... Do you think he will blame the leg as soon as Vettel starts rattling the CR?
No, I don't think he will do that. He's a pretty classy guy.
He is a
pretty straightforward guy. Racing is a tough business, and, you know, these things happen. But I tell you, here is another opportunity for another young driver whom I like very much because of his performance, Mr. Tom Petty of New Zealand, Brendan Hartley. He's supposed to do some testing. How he will do, only time will tell. What drivers wait for, you know, you're in a good car, a competitive car, and even if you're not in a good car, you have a guy, Sebastian Vettel, who's very, very highly rated. Rattle his cage, and your career will be made.
That's true.
And that's the way it goes.
And a lot more and more F1 teams are going with the young driver's development situation. I mean, Renault's been doing it for years.
Yeah, a lot
Ferrari
of them.
Ferrari has jumped on board and tested three F3 drivers.
Yeah, but they want to bring their own... They're on the Toyota program. They want to bring their own kind, which is fine. No problem.
Absolutely.
But in this day and age, you just have to get the best driver, you know, whether he's from America or Anatolia, you know, that's not important.
Or France.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome back to the studio. I hope the cafeteria treated you well.
So far, very good. Refill on the tea. Lovely.
Excellent. Just make sure you put your dollar in the tip jar.
Oh, yeah. Okay, greetings and racing regards to all the listeners. Today we have news on the second coming of Prost winning a championship. Red Bull gives wings to Scott Speed to fly in the top tier, the Sprint Cup of NASCAR World. Jacques Villeneuve signs up for Speed Car Series in a historical Godiva goodie bag, which I hope people will enjoy.
And I love Godiva chocolates myself.
And they're also from Belgium, I am told. Now owned by a Turkish company, believe it or not.
That's okay.
The world of ever-changing, you know, scenario. Okay, we shall start with runaway Rubinho. We already discussed this, but the two-legged Barrichello won his second karting event this year. After winning the Gran Giovanna with Tony Kanaan, He has now galloped to a win in Felipe Massa's International Challenge of Car Champions in Florianópolis, Brazil. Is this ever shown on Speed TV, this or the Gran Viana?
It is not.
It is not, because there are a lot of Brazilian drivers here, so I thought maybe they can.
It might be shown in the middle of the night sometime during the harvest of the wheat crop, during a full moon in sometimes in March.
Okay. And we already mentioned that Jeff Gordon was also there. And he was pretty impressed by the talent pool there. I was right on the Thin Speed TV's website.
Oh, did? Okay, good. But I was surprised he went, even though I'm glad he went. I mean, at least he's participating in charitable events.
Yeah, and he knows there is a wall outside your own zip code, which is good.
Yeah, and he's got a passport and everything.
Oh, yeah. Prost wins the championship last weekend at Maggiore Circuit in Italy. Nicola Prost was crowned as the 2008 Euro Series 3000 champion after the final round. Nicola is 27 years old, and he's also having fantasies of test driving, at least test driving, if not racing a Ferrari. He finished the season with 60 points, two more than second placeman Fabio Onidi. In third place, with 55 points, was Adam Khan, who also drove for Team Pakistan in A1GP a few years ago, last season also, and also the original. And he also raced here at the hugely attended A1GP event at Laguna Seca.
Exactly. Now, speaking of Nicolas Prost, obviously he's 27. He had a late start. He did not start in karting, as most young European drivers do. Alan Prost mentions that he didn't have enough time to nurture his boy, but he's very well educated and
in New York. I went to think Columbia or New
correct.
York University.
But Alan Prost is saying that he's got good relationship with Ferrari, and I think he will get a test.
Yeah, test is one thing. I mean, should not be a problem if you have all those connections.
Absolutely.
And but he's pretty much you know. If you're 27 years old, it will be very hard to get into Formula One. You know, I mean, just ask Giorgio Pantano.
I was just going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah. JV flying the Maple Leaf in the Middle East. Jacques Villeneuve will drive for Durango, Italian Durango team in the second season of Speed Car Series. Some of his competitors will have familiar names and faces, like defending champion Johnny Herbert, Heinz Harald Frentzen, Jean Alesi.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good series. The cars turn right and left. And apparently they're paying a lot of money to the champions, so we might see more and more big-name drivers jumping in. Ex-Grand Prix driver by GP2 team, Thiago Monteiro of Portugal, is the new owner of Barcelona-based BCN Competición team. And this team was co-owned before the sale by Mr. Enrique Scalabroni, who was originally an engineer from Argentina and is very well known in the motor racing business. And I met him here at the Laguna Seca A1GP race. And it was easy to meet anybody there because there were like 25 spectators. But anyway, we have, what else we have? The team will be renamed Ocean Racing Technology. Portuguese people have some fascination with ocean. I think a better name would have been Vasco da Gama Motorsports.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah. And are you serious about this?
Totally.
Okay, that's cool. The Dutch driver, Jelmer Boerman, who, if I'm not mistaken, is from the same part of Holland as Mr. Elvin van Doren, one of our original listeners. So Jelmer Boerman will be their main driver. And we already discussed this. Kiwi in place of Koala. Brendan Hartley of New Zealand will carry out the testing duties for Red Bull that Mark Webber will miss due to injury sustained recently in a road accident during his Tasmania challenge.
Of course, and they were talking about some charges being pressed against Mr. Webber because of some kind of street
ruling.
Yes, but apparently all that's been dropped and he's clear.
Good.
Isn't that nice?
That's a fair dinkum deal.
Exactly.
Always fun to get a ticket when you know, are in an accident and get hurt, you know.
I told you about the Bobby Unser story when he got ticket for riding snowmobile and got lost in the Aspen, Colorado, and he had to be rescued after a couple of days, and they gave him a $75 citation for taking a motorized vehicle there, and, you know, he takes it, you know, he appeals his case, turns down, goes to the New Mexico Supreme Court. They turn him down. So for $75, he takes his case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they did the sensible thing. They refused to hear the case. But that's...
He must really like his lawyers or something. Because it's a lot of money to spend to try to get out of $75.
He's free from the old school, you know. He believes in something and he's
the
very...
The principle.
Yeah, the principle offer.
He should have countersued him for not having properly posted signage or something.
Yeah, but that's Bobby's answer for you. Okay, Hockenheim Ring losing its shine. Track is unable to hold German Grand Prix unless a bailout is provided by the Baden-Württemberg state government. Taxpayers are not interested in subsidizing Tilke-Drome, and given the current economic situation worldwide, future of German Grand Prix at Hockenheim Ring is das kaput.
We should just apply to the United States Congress. Everybody else is.
Yeah,
and show up in the Airbus private plane, you know, the
exactly.
business jet they are also building.
And Bernie expects all the governments now to kick in taxpayer dollars to save any Formula One race, which isn't going to happen.
Well, you know, I think this meltdown going on, we haven't used that word in a while, meltdown, the financial meltdown going on, monetary meltdown. I think the party is going to come to an end for quite a few races because this just cannot go on.
Well, Bernie's going to have to back off. He's not going to be able to extract the kind of money he's been getting because cities, towns, sponsorships are drying up faster than you can sneeze. And not everybody is the government of Singapore where they can just go, okay, we'll give you $45 million and not really ask anybody.
Yeah, and then there was a big article on this on pitpass.com and the Chinese Grand Prix, grandprix.com, and it's common knowledge, you know, a €300 ticket or $400 ticket in places like China, India, Malaysia is a lot of money. It's a lot of money for people in the United States. You know what I'm saying?
Well, those are the kind of tickets that are bought by people who fly in from out of the country.
Yeah, but still, you know, tickets are very expensive, Formula One tickets. If you have a price that is... like three times the salary of a monthly salary of an average person there, you know, you're not going to get a big crowd.
Mm-mm.
You know, so I came up with an idea. You know, a lot of these Malaysia, Singapore, they're doing it for, you know, national enhancement, pride, and global tourism,
global
recognition, right? And global recognition will come basically because the feed, TV feed will go to all over the world, billions of people watching, you know, Malaysian Grand Prix. I thought of an idea today that will help everybody, you know. Why not have the Brunei Grand Prix at Silverstone and the Mozambique Grand Prix at, you know, Manicur? So they have a Formula One race in Viva la France, and Mozambique gets all the... But then the problem is some people, you know, might think Manicur is in Mozambique. So for them, we
Bernie would probably tell you it is the way he feels about it.
So it's... I want races or any sport, you know. You go where there's passion, you know. It's simple as that. So I would like to see a Formula One race at Paul Ricard or Dijon-Prenois or Silverstone, Watkins Glen.
Well, apparently the French aren't that passionate because they can't be, you know, they don't seem to be selling out their venue.
Well, they have good attendance, but, you know, when Bernie wants such exorbitant prices for a race, 45, I mean, 60 million now.
They're taking the race away from Silverstone, that should tell you. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's like...
For Bernie, it's all about the money, but Bernie's going to find that his gravy train is running out of steam.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, some of the Formula One teams with all the problems car companies are having, they are canceling their glamorous, you know, unveiling of a car in Sardinia, unveil of a car in a $10 million extravaganza in Valencia.
Yeah, it'll be Joe's Garage around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Or come see a car at the Formula One race in Melbourne. That might be a better way to go. Okay. A British Formula 3, 17-year-old Monty's homie, Carlos Huertas, will race in this series next season with Raikkonen Robertson Racing. Past two seasons, Huertas has competed in Formula BMW in Europe, you know, with the same outfit. Sudam F3 Championship, South American Formula 3 Championship. Nelson Merlo is the new 2008 F3 South American F3 champion. The Brazilian ended the season championship with 128 points, 16 more than Pedro Nunes, who was second after the final race at Interlagos, Sao Paulo. Merlo, who was born in Sao Paulo in 1983, won the 2005 Brazilian Formula Renault title. So I would expect this name, Nelson Merlot, to be in Europa in a year or two. If things work out there, then move up. If they don't, then he'll be here, just like Rafael Matos and Elio Castroneves. From Latin America to land down under, Tom Walkinshaw, man who once ran Arrows Formula One team, is buying Holden Racing Team in Australian V8 Series from current owner/driver Mark Scaife. Scott Speed, man from Manteca, will replace AJ Allmendinger at Red Bull's NASCAR Sprint Cup team for 2009. He will also take part in the Nationwide Series, which is the GP2 version of NASCAR, with Michael Waltrip Racing.
Let's hope he has a little more success than AJ did.
And his teammate is going to be Vickers?
Brian Vickers, who is a very talented young driver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian Vickers is very good, and a lot of, you know, since the sport is so popular here at Oval Racing, there's a lot of talent pool in NASCAR right now. Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, a lot of people coming in. And, okay, now, you know, we have some other information, some recommended reading. And I felt sorry for the guy, but, you know, that's the business of motor racing. Autosport.com has an interesting story, Pantano abandoned by F1 teams. And, you know, same thing happened to this poor Portuguese driver, Alvaro Parent, or Alvaro Parente in some markets. He won the World Series Pirano, the British F3, and, you know, nobody's calling him.
This is what happens. That's why I put the picture of Pantano, Piquet, and Hamilton on the front page today, because one of them is already world champion, Piquet, with a pretty good team, and Pantano.
Yeah. You know, there was this driver from New Zealand. I'm trying to track him down. Last I heard, he was teaching in England. Mike Tacfel, who at one time became, may still be the youngest driver to drive a Formula One car. This is the curse of, you know, when you have all the talent. And again, I understand if you don't have the money to go to three different series in 3 years, you do what you can. Mike Tacfel was an extremely talented young kid, went away. And I remember some years ago, Clark, they used to be, before it became GP2, it was called Formula 3000. And they used to show those races before the race. And there was this guy, Rob Nguyen, you know, the Vietnamese name, N-G-U-Y-E-N, and he was from Australia. And, of course, you know, that's a name that you normally don't hear in racing. So I tried to do some reading on him in those days. Could not get a lot of information. And I think about last year I was reading about him. Somehow his name popped up. This kid was studying in, I think, Switzerland, and his family brought him like a racing school class, just, you know, as a reward, and he got hooked on the racing, and again, was one of those natural racing talents, and just people who were around him, well-established people, they thought, oh man, here comes the next Senna or whatever, and they tried to rush him through this system, and it did not work out, and I think that's what has happened with Pantano. Because I remember reading on his management, ex-management website, and these are the people that, you know, says that, you know, they gave him bad advice. I could not believe that they said that we took Pantano from go-karting to Formula One in 18 months. That's just, you're really asking for trouble if you do that. Baby steps.
Well, if you're naturally talented, but still 18 months... You're not going to be, most kids, you're not going to be old enough, strong enough to handle a Formula One car. You almost have to come up through the ranks just to build up the musculature to handle the heavier cars.
There's no shortcut to experience. You know, Hamilton, it's Lewis Hamilton. They had asked Ron Dennis to jump to GP2 and not, you know, do one more year. I think it was... Formula 3000 Euro series or whatever the series McLaren wanted, and they says no, you have to do this, and results are there now. Okay, so this is a good reading on autosport.com, and some new car launches. McLaren, January 16th at their technology center in Woking, Surrey. Toyota TF109 will make its worldwide, here is the talk about money, you know, cutbacks and budget. TF109 will make its worldwide appearance on the World Wide Web January 15th, and I'm serious.
So they don't even get a lunch. They just roll it into the garage and turn on the cameras.
No, I remember some years ago Ferrari did that also.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and this, of course, will save billions and billions of yens.
Okay, Carl.
Yeah, the Cologne-based Japanese team will start testing at the new Algarve Motor Park in Portugal And Dr. Miguel, please be there and send us some photos. Renault R29, I'm surprised you didn't even bring this up in your... You did not start the segment.
January 20th, Renault's coming out.
Yeah, Renault R29 will be seen for the first time on January 20th. Welcome to the club. GP2 racer Karun Chandok has become the first Indian racer to be invited to join the British Racing Drivers Club, so our congratulations to him. And talking of GP2, the GP2 Asia Series will be in action this weekend in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Opening two races in October in Shanghai were won by Roldan Rodriguez of Spania and Davide Valsecchi of Italia. And also this weekend is that famous Formula BMW World Finals in Mexico City.
Correct.
At the Hermanos Rodriguez circuit. So let's see what happens. And of course we'll have a report on that. And what else we have here for you, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, now, are we ready for a goodie bag?
I'm ready for a goodie bag. I just filled up my coffee cup.
No Stella Artois for you?
No. This is a professional organization, Nasser.
Okay, what I did, since we don't fabricate news at F1 Weekly, and it's...
Correct.
We don't?
No, what? We don't.
Wait, I didn't get that memo.
Yeah. So anyway, this is some important dates and some information which I thought was interesting.
December dates.
And so again, for time consideration, some selected happenings. Where do we start now? Okay, Emerson Fittipaldi, first Brazilian to win a Formula One Grand Prix, World Championship, and Indy 500, was born on December 12, 1946 in Sao Paulo. And... of all the people I've met in motor racing, he was probably one of the most, polite person I've met, and nice, very impressive. And when you meet him, you realize why he's so popular. It's just like Dan Gurney. Probably Dan Gurney has to be the nicest person I've ever met, not just in racing, otherwise
not
also.
Me.
Oh, you are on a very high pedestal.
Different scale.
You're a different scale, you know. Yeah. Anyway... December 16, 1982, Colin Chapman, men who gave Emo, Mario, Jochen Rindt, Graham Hill, and Jimmy Clark their first world championships, died of a heart attack on this day. Jackie Stewart never drove for Colin because, according to the V Scott, wheels were falling off his cars, and they were always looking for a second driver. And this is an actual quote from Jackie Stewart. December 21st, 1935, Lorenzo Bendini, winner of the very first, I believe it was the very first Austrian Grand Prix in 1964 at Zelfec Airport Circuit. He was born on this day in Libya in a town called Barche in Cyrenaica province. This is when Il Duce was in charge of Libya. And I wonder if trains in Tripoli were running on time.
Very punctual.
Yeah. December 23rd, 1956, from one Italian Grand Prix driver and winner to another, Michele Alboreto, who like Bandini also drove for Ferrari in Formula One, was born on this day. And I am told, but I have not been able to confirm at this time, that Michele Alboreto's mother was Libyan and Papito was Italiano. So if we have any listeners in Italy or who know this to be a fact or not, please let us know. We love information. December 31st, 1967, this is pretty heavy, man, I was, very chilling information. On this day, in what turned out to be his last qualifying attempt in Formula One racing, Jim Clark takes pole position for the South African Grand Prix at Kyalami on New Year's Day in 1968. So the qualifying was on December 31st race, and I believe it was this race that on the eve of the race, I read this in an interview with Jackie Stewart. Him and Jochen Rindt went to a drive-in together.
It's love.
Can you imagine Hamilton and Alonso going in a drive-in in a Renault?
No problem.
Espace, as you call it. A lot of room for love. And watching.
I don't know
where you're going. Wait a minute. You sure this isn't like a drive-in restaurant?
No, drive-in movie. Oh. Yeah, that, it was in his interview.
They take their race cars?
No, I don't think so. But you can see, you know, talking about taking a race car, I kid you not, I have seen pictures of European races, but even of when they had the race in Riverside, the U.S. Grand Prix 1960, some Formula One driver is driving his car on the street.
Especially at Haas.
Yeah, Haas was famous for that. And it's amazing. Times have changed. Okay, so that should do about it as far as this edition is concerned. And so we're going to leave the Motorsports Mondial with a little musical Mondial. And hopefully our illustrious executive producer will put in a little bit of Luciana, which is a very nice tune. And this rendition is done by Mr. James Last of Germania. So enjoy and thank you for listening.
We'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, for the wrap-up, Steve has got our forum updates.
This week, forum updates. Short one this week. He was running out of ideas. Yay writes this week's news from the F1 Weekly forum. Desiree is back on the forum, but why hasn't Steve, the co-host, Fall posted since September? Well, probably has something to do with the net nanny at work. Our new posters this week are Race Collector and Cyan. Welcome to the forum. Right now, the forum's hottest discussion topics include KERS and 2009. What Formula One driver are you? The racer and the pussycat. Santander to Ferrari in 2010. Fernando on the way. And medals instead of points. If you want to make a comment, get the latest baked bean news, or ask a question, please come and visit us on the forum. No birthdays this week, and in fact, there are none showing on the calendar for the whole month of December. So I suspect people are not filling in their birth dates. Please, I need to make a cake. And it's all for now. Keep up the good posting, everybody, and remember, don't close the tab. Click on the Yahoo ad. Ooh, I like that. Thanks, Peter.
Keep up the good work. Keep the forum active during the off season. I know it gets a little tiresome out there. People are doing other things instead of thinking Formula One, taking the wife to dinner. Forget all that crap.
Christmas shopping.
Let's get back to F1 Weekly and start posting, as I say. Real quickly, Motorsports Memories 2009, powered by Turbo Calendar, is going fast. $15.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to the merchandise page. You know, and I've been telling you guys, today is December 4th. You got 21 more days before Christmas. Why put it off any longer? And you're forgetting that really important person that a lot of you don't want to admit to. It could be more, which is fully acceptable. But don't forget the mistress. Because the mistress wants to look at that calendar and it reminds her of those nice, comfortable evenings.
And don't forget the mistress's children. They need
everyone.
And the mistress's mother. And father, and brothers and sisters, and aunts and uncles.
And exactly. The babysitter.
Yes. So keep up the good work. Often the babysitter is the mistress, Nasser. In America, that is. So there you have it. Keep up the good work. We've got a few more calendars left. I think we're going to be able to fill in everybody's order, including Santa's. Also, I want to thank Marin Karting. They're proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all your kart needs, including engine service, driver coaching, and track side support. For more information, contact Marin Karting at 415-898-0999 or marincarting.com. FF1Weekly.com. I want to mention our MySpace and Facebook sites. All of us super active on Facebook, right, Nass? I mean, you're talking to everybody, the Tom Bays.
Well, you know,
I mean, you're such a star now, Nass.
I'm not a star. I'm a racing fan.
Aha!
Especially when cars are going right and left. But I can handle quite a bit of oval racing, too. Anyway, talking of Tom Bay, you know, I was chatting with Adrian Tom Bay, whose papito was Patrick Tom Bay, and he did recently some testing in F3 Euro Series. So I'm hoping that he said to me within a week or two that he will know which team he's going with and if that's what he's doing. And I asked him, what about a couple of other drivers? And he says Marco Wittmann, who was used to be a Willy Weber client, he's saying he's going with me to F3 Euro Series also. So, you know, as a fan of motor racing and as a fan of F1 Weekly, I'm very, very interested in having some racing contact when some of these drivers make it to Formula One. Because one of the behind-the-scenes thing I'm trying to work on, it's not going to happen in 2009, I'm pretty sure of that, but maybe starting 2010, if I can get a media credential to a Formula One race or two, then we can really, you know, do a very good
current affairs. The Fernandos and the Kimi Raikkonens.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the current affairs situation, which is what most of the racing fans really dig. But we appreciate their interest in whatever blabbing we are doing and the historical stuff we do. But hopefully, you know, it's we'll find a way to get there.
Okay, I'm glad Facebook is working for you, Nass, and of course, your racing F1 Weekly agenda. So go to Facebook and MySpace, do a search for F1 Weekly, and make us a friend. And you can search for us individually, Clark W. Rogers, Nasser Hamid, Steve Fobb, executive producer David Tapia. We're all on there having a few laughs. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program, who emails us, and of course, everybody who goes on the forum, because it makes it exciting indeed. I want to thank Nasser, Steve, David Tapia, Desiree, who's been back on the forum, and we're trying to get her back on the program. And of course, you know, there's contractual problems with her manager and our executive staff. You know, it's salary discussions, but we're working on it. So I want to thank everybody once again. And of course, Toby, keep up the good work out there in New York. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.